There's more NFL, there's more Puerto Rico, there's more everything in the world. I'm going to start with fun in a second. And then one of the things we're going to do today is, first of all, tell you about one of the greatest weddings in American history. What? What does that have to do with the show? You'll see. And can that really live up to its billing? Certainly one of the most patriotic. Okay, and then also a little bit later in the program, what else do I have for? Oh my God, a Republican says the most devastating things about Trump. I was actually shocked at what he said. So that's coming up in a little bit. But I look, I told you guys that we won the Streamy for Best News Show on Sunday night. Well, we're up for Show of the Year, Best Show on the Internet tonight. But you can still keep voting today. So you do that through hashtag TYT for Streamies. Just tweet that. Tweet anything else you like with it, tweet nothing else if you want, retweeted, that also counts. Last day of voting, it's panic time, go for it. And then tonight, watch ceremony, see if we win. Also, Anna and I will be presenting the Storyteller of the Year. Really great category that includes DJ Khaled. Okay, I don't know how to say it, how do I say it? Anyway, I better figure it out before the ceremony. Twitter.com/streamies, Brett Ehrlich is gonna teach me before the ceremony. All right. Let's get started. Let's go to Sean Hannity. Okay, this is one of those stories that's just nothing but fun. Okay, it's about Sean Hannity. He apparently got jealous of Lawrence O'Donnell's outtakes, so someone leaked that he's got his own. This is what happens during the show when they're going to a video clip, and then this is what he does while the audience is watching the video. Harry Shearer got his hands on this. He apparently has a source inside of Fox News. This is fun. Now, first of all, this story was going to be nothing but fun. I actually didn't have anything to say about it until Hannity responded. So I got to now respond to his response. But first, let's watch him bait.
Watch this.
All right, there he goes. Okay, looks like the penguin there a little bit. Okay, depends on your take on it. You know, if you're a smoker, you might find it not so bad. There he is with that stern look, doing the Marco Rubio, no problem. Little scratch there, maybe work the earpiece. And game face, go. Okay, really no big deal. Okay, so he apparently vapes. What's in there? America wants to know. Okay, we might not find out. Presumably tobacco. So Hannity then tweets out in response to this, LOL, which is appropriate. It's not real. Enjoy his advertising on my radio show. I don't smoke cigars anymore. Well, I don't think anybody thought that it was a cigarette. It looked like he was vaping the whole time, and hence the graphic. But okay, that's fine. So far, still no story. It doesn't even look that bad. It's kind of funny, but it's not that, no big deal at all. Then he says this, nah, I had to give them up even during golf and fishing. Ugh, and I drink beer and occasionally vodka. I know liberals never do either. Okay, yeah, well, of course, liberals also drink beer and vodka and do many other things. But the difference between you and us, Sean, is that we don't judge you for it. So that's why I don't care that you're vaping. I don't even care if there's weed in there. Okay, I don't want to get into the weeds on the story, but anyways, we actually want to leave you alone. We're not in favor of big government like you are. We think you should have personal liberty, and if you want to smoke or smoke cigars or vape, have at it, Hoss. We're not going to judge you on that. But you guys are the ones who are constantly like, don't do that and don't do this and go. So. In this case, no one knows what was in it. So overall though, Sean, am I not merciful? Not guilty. And if you were guilty, I'd pardon you. Most reasonable man in America. Okay, we're moving forward, just a quick little fun story. Okay, hashtag TYT for streamies. Did I mention that? All right, now let's go to healthcare. Wait, I have news on this, so I should do this, okay? We have news. All right. Repeal and replace, dead again. I know it's a zombie bill and it keeps coming back up. but they had until September 30th to somehow figure out how to get 50 Republicans to vote for it so they don't need Democrats. Well, it looks like it is not going to happen. Mitch McConnell came out and said, yep, we just couldn't do it, couldn't get enough Republicans to vote for it. The Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, had come out and said, yes, it will still cost untold millions of Americans healthcare coverage, and yes, it'll be more expensive, and yes, it'll cover less. Pretty much disastrous news, which cost some Susan Collins, as you'll see in a second. And so let me give you the details on how this one is dead. The decision to shelve repeal legislation came during a weekly caucus meeting on Capitol Hill, as leaders acknowledged that the latest proposal from Senators Bill Cassidy and Lindsey Graham lacked the support it required to pass. That's usually how bills die. So they did not bring it up for a vote, because all that would do is cause further embarrassment, since they don't have enough votes. And McCain might come back out there and go, which was super fun. Or okay, so the reason Senator Bill Cassidy, who was the author of this particular legislation, had to say this is because Donald Trump sometimes doesn't know how things work. So he said, quote, "We don't have the votes," which is the most obvious thing in the world. So Trump, after one of the first efforts to get rid of Obamacare had failed, was like, "I don't understand what happened. Why didn't it pass?" And then he was like fuming about the filibuster. The filibuster has nothing to do with this. Filibuster is 60 votes. This would have actually been a loophole around the filibuster. You just need 50 votes, which is not even a majority. Pence would break the tie, and then you'd get it to pass, but you couldn't get a majority. You couldn't get 50 votes. So Trump says that he's very disappointed by a couple of senators, Republican senators. You know, he loves to hit his own side. Again, strategically, that might make sense in some cases. It hasn't in this case. If somehow he was playing three-dimensional chess, I'd love to see Trump just play chess. What are these things? What do you call this castle? Why does it only move that way? Anyway, if he had been playing three-dimensional chess, well, checkmate, I guess. He had no strategy. So let me give you more on Trump bashing other Republicans, which is always fun. He said, "We were very disappointed that they would take the attitude that they did. We don't know why they did it. You can sort of figure that, but we'll see what happens. At some point there'll be a repeal and replace, but we'll see whether or not that point is now, or will it be shortly thereafter. We are disappointed in certain so-called Republicans." Ooh, shots fired. Okay, now he apparently can't figure out why they voted this way. Actually, it's very, very clear. Susan Collins explained that, well, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, came out with the numbers saying all these people would lose their health care coverage. Furthermore, now I go to the Hill, she cited the CBO's score as one of her reasons for opposing the legislation authored by GOP Senators Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy, while also criticizing its cuts to Medicaid, its weakening of protections for people with pre-existing conditions, and predictions by insurers, hospitals, and other groups that it would lead to higher premiums and less coverage for people. Well, that's apparently why they did it. That's why they didn't vote yes. That seems like ample reason, but Trump's still trying to figure it out. He's like, oh, nobody can tell. Nobody knows. Healthcare is complicated. Nobody knew that. And so I don't know why they voted no. They voted no because it's a terrible bill, because it makes it more expensive, covers less, and more people lose their insurance, and the list goes on and on. But you think they're gone? They're never gone. So Lindsey Graham says, quote, "We're coming back to this after taxes." What he means by that is they are going to try to pass a multi-trillion dollar tax cut for the rich. That is their number one priority, has always been. This healthcare bill, the real reason for it was that it had about a $600 to $700 billion tax cut for the rich. But that was an appetizer. Now they're going to try to pass a $6 to $7 trillion tax cut for the rich. So now they're saying, well, maybe getting rid of Obamacare costing you guys insurance, but giving another $700 billion to our rich donors, that'll be the dessert rather than the appetizer. Wow, I really look forward to that. But one more thing, if Trump is still flummoxed as to why politicians didn't vote for this horrible bill that he loved and supported, well, if you look at the polling, CBS News had it at 20% approval. Well, that's pretty crappy. 20% is a miserable number. That might be another reason why people looking forward to getting reelected didn't vote for it. By the way, Obamacare now polling at 54%. the more Trump and the Republicans attack Obamacare, the more people like it. They're like, whoa, look, the premiums are a little too high, but at least people are covered. And if you have a pre-existing condition, they're not going to let you die anymore. Now that we've seen the Republican alternative, Obamacare looks way better. So Donald, if you're still wondering and have no clue, which is usually the case for you, as to why this didn't work and how it might work in the future, call me. I can let you know. By the way, one thing that does cover everyone has lower premiums and covers more healthcare as well, gives you more options, is a thing called Medicare. And luckily, Medicare for all, Medicare is so popular, it polls at 77% for the people who, for the whole country, people who have it generally like it. If you want more private insurance on top, you can get Medicare Advantage. So Medicare for all, saying let us all into that popular program, is polling at 60%, the only thing higher than Obamacare, because it checks off everything that Donald Trump promised during the campaign. Of course, those who are lies on his behalf, it ticks off, it checks off every single box that Americans actually want in healthcare. Is this system perfect? No system's perfect. But overall, the reason why it's incredibly popular is because it works. Let's try that next. It's not that complicated. All right. But good news today, great news today. In fact, let me do it. It's dead for now, so. It's dead, so it might mean that you stay alive. It is health insurance, that's how it works. Okay, so now I'm moving forward to the NFL. I got more on the NFL in the next segment for you guys too, but this is a great story. I love doing a little bit of edification here on things you might not have known. I didn't know some a lot of this. Okay, so Donald Trump, of course, continues to double down, triple down. I think we're on quintuple down, actually. I think he went back at it for the fifth time today on saying that the NFL must make its players kneel or not kneel, or they should be fired. Now this is the government basically saying if they're going to exercise their freedom of speech, where there should be consequences and punishment for it. That's at a minimum borderline unconstitutional. It's different if the owners do it, they're private entities, but when the government is demanding that people be fired, it becomes a massive constitutional issue, let alone the fact that these guys just, like, their cause is not that controversial. They want to end police brutality. Are there people for police brutality? Like, you might disagree about the severity of the issue, but like, you're really that upset, like, oh God, I really want police brutality to keep going. If only they could shoot more unarmed men, and particularly black men. Again, you could disagree with it, but it's not an outrageous thing. They're not saying, hey, let's end all cops, whatever. It's just the most simple thing in the world. Can we look at disproportionate police violence that happens from time to time and look to fix it so the police can serve our entire community? Okay, but there's a terrific article by Travis Waldron from HuffPost on whether the NFL is political at all. Because a lot of the guys right now on the right wing are saying, including Trump, like, get politics out of football. Why are these players bringing politics into it? Come on, man, I just want to watch football here. NFL doesn't have anything to do with politics. Really? So let's go to Travis's really great article on this. He says, there is no such thing as a politically agnostic NFL. And the NFL we know today would not exist if there were. What's different today is who inside the NFL is engaging in politics, how they are doing so, and what they are demanding. Well, that's an interesting thesis. What does he mean by that? How was the NFL political before? Well, he explains. In 1957, a full decade before the first Super Bowl, the NFL was still a fledgling enterprise trying to muscle its way to the front of the nation's sporting consciousness when the US Supreme Court ruled that its methods of negotiating television broadcast rights violated antitrust laws. The NFL, in response, turned to Congress, a practice it would hone in years to come, and the league prevailed upon lawmakers to pass the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961, a law that effectively invalidated the court's ruling by giving the NFL a limited exemption from antitrust laws. So the NFL was literally, in a lot of ways, especially on TV, born of politics. If they hadn't gone to Congress and lobbied it and gotten politicians on their side, they wouldn't have had the broadcasting rights that they have. In fact, It is in essence a quote government sanctioned monopoly. So a lot of the sports leagues are, and they, to varying degrees with slight variances, and you could make an argument that they need to be given their unique structure. But you certainly need politics to allow a monopoly like that to exist. So, but there's more. Travis explains, fantasy football, an unmistakable driver of the NFL's unrivaled popularity, is legal today primarily because the league successfully lobbied Congress to exempt the contest from federal laws that banned online gambling. Politics number two, at a minimum. More, the NFL over the last 20 years has also benefited from nearly $7 billion in tax subsidies that have helped its teams build stadiums that enrich its already wealthy owners. So politics number three, that's a giant one. So isn't that funny? When it's politics that helps billionaire owners, hey there, go get them NFL, way to do that politics. When it's largely African American players, now it has spread to white players, which is great, by the way. I love that they're standing in unison and asking for reform and just supporting one another. But when it spreads to, and it started with only African American players, hey, whoa, players. Politics is only for the owners, okay. But there's more. Today, as Waldron explains, the league has its own political action committee and has poached political communication gurus and strategists away from high-ranking political positions. If you got a pack, you might be a little political. It is literally called a political action committee. Okay, the NFL too, he continues, has allegedly used this considerable power to steer money away from certain federal government sponsored studies into head trauma and chronic traumatic, and so, I'm not good at that, CTE, the degenerative brain disease that has been found in dozens of deceased football players. So now that one is alleged, but that would be number four of political things the NFL does and that no one complains about, or not a lot of people complain about. Certainly the right wing doesn't. Okay, now getting to the point here, that he says today's most compelling political voice in football are not wealthy white owners in bad suits urging Congress and state lawmakers to pass laws that further fill their pockets. They are black men in football uniforms who are demanding right there in front of God and Jerry Jones and everyone that football fans and Americans confront racial injustices that persist outside their sport but still affect them too. Let me just have my first couple of disagreements with him. I think their suits are way better than mine. They do have nice suits from time to time. And second of all, last night, even Jerry Jones, one of the most renowned, enormously wealthy owners in the NFL, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, took a knee with the rest of his players. I mean, if Donald Trump meant to unite people against Colin Kaepernick, he could not have failed harder. He united everyone all the way up to billionaire owners to do the same thing that Colin Kaepernick is doing. So look, I think this is a brilliant point by the writer here to point out that no, the NFL has always been about politics. The question is who. And yes, last year as Kaepernick and some of the other players started this, they were alone and Kaepernick is still not in the league, so that action has not been taken. And that's ridiculous. Everybody in football knows he's one of the top 96 quarterbacks. It's preposterous to claim otherwise. So he should be in the league and that should be resolved immediately. But and the folks who are enraged that players actually had the temerity to ask for political justice on a really important issue are dead wrong. But overall, the tide, partly thanks to the miserable failings of Donald Trump, has begun to swing where people are saying, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. It is freedom of speech. And why can't they actually make their point about police violence and or whatever else they think is important? So I love that that it has gone another direction, but it's important to know what the reality is and how politics has been involved all along. And I'm going to give Travis Waldron here the last word. He says the players have not committed the sin of introducing politics into football. They're seen as to be black men talking about politics when the NFL wants them to shut up and entertain. Again, that was before Donald Trump accidentally turned almost the entirety of the NFL against him and in favor of Colin Kaepernick and the protests. But for a long time, the NFL was on the wrong side of this. And yes, they too played politics. So apparently, literally in this case, two can play at that game. All right, we'll be right back. Young Turks, a couple of quick tweets. Aldo Anetjingon writes in, still less awkward than Hannity's MMA workout. Totally agreed, that was a hilarious video. Pat Trago says, hashtag TYT for streamies today and every day. That's right, except for the fact that after today, it doesn't really matter. Go vote right now, hashtag TYT for streamies. That's TYTFOR and then streamies. And you can watch us tonight on twitter.com/streamies. Anna and I are presenting an award and you'll see if we're going to win. And then Mole says, Obamacare, if you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. I like the reference. Okay, let's keep going. Let's go to Alabama. All right. I'm already amused. Okay, we've got an interesting race in Alabama that is happening today. They've got a primary on the Republican side. Jeff Sessions obviously became Attorney General and they need to fill that seat. For the moment being, Luther Strange was appointed to that seat in a very controversial way by a governor who had a sex scandal, which Luther Strange was investigating, and then the governor appoints Luther Strange and then leaves office and he's fine, and Luther Strange all of a sudden is not investigating him anymore. So that's among the problems Luther Strange has and the establishment has. It's scratch my back, I scratch your back, this is what people hate. So Luther Strange is an enormously right-wing Republican, but that is one of his problems and that's a fair problem to have. Another problem is that the guy who he's running against, Roy Moore, is an even more insane right-wing Republican. So that's why Donald Trump was in Alabama giving that speech in the first place. Now, he didn't spend a lot of time talking about Luther Strange, he spent more time, of course, talking about himself, and then started that huge NFL controversy down there. He might have been a little bit distracted or indifferent because of the latest polls. Every poll has his guy, Luther Strange, losing. Right now, Roy Moore is up 50% to 40%. And that's one poll we're showing you there, Emerson College poll, but all the polls have Roy Moore leading significantly. Luther Strange is backed by the establishment, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. Roy Moore backed by the basket of deplorables, Steve Bannon, Sean Hannity, and all the other extreme right wingers. But by the way, no one's a winner in this race, unless somehow the Democrat pulls out a victory against one of these guys. And Moore is crazy enough, as you're about to see in a second, that he at least has a shot at losing. That's a pun, as you'll see as well, unintended though. A shot at losing the general election race. Even Donald Trump knows it. In the rally where he was supposed to be getting people excited about Luther Strange, he said, quote, I might have made a mistake. Politically and backing the underdog in the race. He's such a clown. You know why he does that? He sees the polls and he's like, well, I don't want my ego to get ruffled here, so I'm going to support him, but only a little bit, only a little bit, because you know, I don't want to take responsibility if he loses. The ego has landed in Alabama. So apparently Luther Strange has more money, is spending a lot of that in ads. Roy Moore is aggrieved by this because apparently someone questioned whether he's in favor of the Second Amendment. Not in Alabama. So he is going to have this comical response.
It's been very hard for my wife and myself to weather nearly 3 months of negative ads that we couldn't answer with money because we didn't have it. Ads that were completely false. That I don't believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the Second Amendment. You know, they say guns are bad, that they kill. Well, I know a lot about guns. I'm the one that has used guns in combat. I know what guns do.
Yeah, they kill people. What do they give out, hugs? Anyway, the audience saw that in unison, went. Yeah, he's got a gun. He could shoot any one of us at any moment. Or it could accidentally go off and hit us. What? Yeah! That's why this guy's leading. Only in America, brother. Only in America, where your potential senator pulls out a gun and waves it at you, and you go, "Yes, yes, I might accidentally get shot." My lucky day. This guy used to be Chief Justice of the Alabama State Supreme Court. He lost that job because he refused to listen to the Constitution. He keeps wanting to put up the Ten Commandments everywhere, among many other things. He has gone off on homosexuals in this country, doesn't believe they should have the same rights. Okay, Roy Moore, if you make it into the Senate, we are ruled by a different document. It's called the Constitution. It's not the Bible, it's not the Old Testament. Okay, you're not running for Pope. But the good folks in Alabama, at least on the Republican side, are apparently likely to put him in a position where he might join us in the United States Senate. Ugh, God help us all. He looks so funny with that picture. All right, anyways, bless their hearts in Alabama. What else can I tell you? All right, let's move forward. Okay. Steve Schmidt is a Republican consultant. He's worked on many campaigns, including John McCain's. And boy, he is furious about Donald Trump's fail surrounding the NFL. Now, as you guys all know, Kaepernick took a knee. He was protesting police brutality and all the unarmed black men in America being shot, and just overall better training for cops and more responsive to the community. I find that protest to be so uncontroversial, but a lot of the NFL owners did not agree. And you know the rest of the story, where Donald Trump comes out and attacks in Alabama and says that anyone who takes a knee should be fired, and calls him son of a bitch, etc. The whole NFL, pretty much hundreds of players, and by the way, coaches and now NFL owners, taking a knee and joining in the protests in response. But nonetheless, I was a little surprised by Steve Schmidt's reaction, because it is so vociferous. So this is a Republican talking about this issue. Watch.
To see him try to hijack this symbol, to wrap himself in it for the purposes, premeditatedly, purposefully, of dividing the country is the most disgusting thing I've seen in my lifetime, in my 47 years. And what Donald Trump is doing here is as terrible a thing, and maybe the most terrible thing that has ever been done to this country by a president of the United States. Despicable doesn't begin to describe.
So I actually think that Trump's done worse. And by the way, I think Bush has done worse in some ways. And look, the Iraq war killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. But I love his anger and his rage at him dividing us. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. You know, and here Schmidt is going to get even more specific. Listen.
I saw a handsome young man on TV, an NFL player, and he got a little bit jammed up when the reporter asked him a question. Is he a racist? And he didn't want to say it. So let me say it. I want to help him out. He's a racist. Okay? You look at that speech in Alabama to an all-white crowd, right? We need to get real about this in this country. President of the United States goes down there, and he talks about us and those people. He came proverbially as close as you can possibly come to shouting in a rally the N-word. That's what he did down there. I know it. You know it. Harold knows it. We all know it. And for the Republican Party and its leaders, but for every decent American, we're coming up on the line. We're enough's enough with this. What he's doing to the country is tragic.
Okay, very strong words, which I really appreciate. But he's not alone. You know, a lot of people are shaken by this. Again, I think Trump's done worse. I think Trump's done way worse on the issue of race. You know, there's a thousand things to go into here. Birtherism, obviously, his response to Charlottesville. let alone what he did with the Central Park Five, five black kids accused of rape, and he wanted them executed. It turns out later that they didn't do it. Even after he found out they didn't do it, he still said they should stay in jail, which is just outrageous, and there's no reason for it other than race. And here Schmidt's pointing out, look, when you talk about us versus them, but not like a slip of the tongue, but you keep saying it over and over again. We know which direction you're going with this. This is not coded language. This is obvious language. And then later in the show, we're going to have a story for you guys. And if you guys don't know, show's live every day, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Check it out on tytnetwork.com or youtube.com/tyt. And Anna's going to come later in the program and tell us about a focus group that CNN did of Trump supporters. And one of them asking the question of, wait, why is Trump criticizing black NFL players way more harshly than he's criticizing neo-Nazis? I mean, he's very tepid after Charlottesville, but somebody takes a knee saying don't do police brutality, and he comes at him guns blazing, son of a bitch should be fired, and does it over and over and over again. So although there have been worse issues, I think what resonated with Steve Schmidt and a lot of the Trump voters here is the NFL is a giant part of America, and they pay attention to that. And so when they saw him do it so publicly about such a big issue in their lives, it becomes a little harder to turn your eyes. I think that his issues with race became more obvious to at least more people in the country, and Steve Schmidt just calling it out. And remember, he's a Republican strategist. So what he's trying to do there is not to do damage to the Republican Party. In his own way of thinking about it, he's trying to rescue the Republican Party. He's like, look, if we get stuck with this brand that we're the guys who are tepid about neo-Nazis, we're the guys who are the racists, that's going to destroy the Republican Party in the long run. And I think he's trying to do the right thing and separate Trump from the rest of them. But let's keep it real. The Republicans had 17 choices in the primary. They chose Trump. And yes, he hadn't made the NFL comments yet, but he'd made plenty of those comments earlier. He had started birtherism. They knew what they were getting. And so Steve Schmidt might want to also look at the Republican voters. But meanwhile, it is much appreciated that he had the courage to call it what it is. Okay, now let's go to more anger on TV here against Trump. So recently, Donald Trump came out and attacked John McCain, even though McCain on 60 Minutes recently said that his prognosis of is very, very poor, and he just flat out came out and said he has a very high chance of not recovering. And he said, "Look, I'm trying to enjoy a life well lived." So now, Trump, to be fair, before that interview, had gone against John McCain quite. Vociferously, how else does he ever do anything? But because McCain indicated that he was not going to vote for the latest version of repeal and replacing Obamacare. Let me give you his tweets, and then I'll give you more recent stuff from Trump as well. And remember, this is just a couple of days ago from Trump. And everybody knew that John McCain had a severe case of brain cancer even then. So he wrote, John McCain never had any intention of voting for this bill, which his governor loves. He campaigned for on repeal and replace. Let Arizona down. He goes on to say, Arizona had 116% increase in Obamacare premiums last year with deductibles very high. Chuck Schumer sold John McCain a bill of goods. Sad. Now, don't ever trust any of Donald Trump's numbers. I'm just giving you a sense of how much he's attacking McCain. By the way, Trump recently did a deal with Chuck Schumer. Sad. But of course, he's nowhere near done. More tweets. Large block grants to states is a good thing to do. Also false. Better control and management. Great for Arizona. McCain let his best friend Lindsey Graham down. When Lindsey Graham was asked about this, he said he can do any damn thing he pleases. He's an American hero, and he doesn't have to vote with me on my bill. Obviously, taking McCain's side over Trump's. Finally, Trump said Democrats are laughingly saying that McCain had a moment of courage. Tell that to the people of Arizona who were deceived, 116% increase. So mocking McCain's moment of courage. Then he went to Alabama, had a rally, and ended a radio show as well, and kept on attacking McCain. Here's a clip from that.
You know, you can call it what you want, but that was a term. That's the only reason we don't have it, because of John McCain. Nobody thought he was a negative vote. Without John McCain, we already have the health care, and it would have been very good, by the way.
So there he is on the Rick and Bubba show. Then he's going to say it at the rally. Let's watch.
They gave me a list of 10 people that were absolute no's. These are 10 Republican senators. Now, John McCain's list. John McCain was not on the list, so that was a totally unexpected thing. Terrible. Honestly, terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. Honestly. Okay. So now Joe Scarborough is going to go off on him. You know, I'm not a big fan of Scarborough. I think he's, of course, right in this case. But what to me, the most important part is not just about Donald Trump. We already knew what kind of a vicious jerk that he is. Scarborough caught on to that fairly late, let's be honest about that. But he's definitely on board for that now. But it's also a commentary on the Republican voters. First, let's get it started.
I mean, you have no humanity. If you have a man who's dying and you're using him for political punchlines on talk radio and also in audiences in Alabama. And by the way, for people watching at home, if you're in an audience and John McCain's getting attacked and he's fighting life, all right, unless you were raised in a barn, keep your mouth shut. All right? Show a little respect. Show a little dignity. Show a little class.
I like how Republicans like Scarborough just realized who their voters are. Yeah, no, you quartered these guys who are vicious. You did the Southern strategy. You used dog whistle terms against African Americans for decades and decades, and then you've come to find out that your base is full of vicious guys who will boo a guy who is dying of brain cancer. Color me surprised. Well, it turns out Scarborough at least is surprised. He's going to keep on going.
A man who served his country in uniform when he could have done what Donald Trump did. Could have avoided the draft. His father was one of the most powerful men in America. He could have stayed home like Donald Trump, and he could have chased models. Do you have the character to do that? Well, actually, if you booed John McCain, you've already answered that question. Someone has failed you in your life, and you need to examine that. If you still go to church, you need to pray for yourself this Sunday morning in church. And then when you get your head screwed on right, and you start putting humanity ahead of politics, against of stupidity, against of the tribalism that is destroying this country, then go home and tell your children the story of John McCain and what he did when things got tough and how he put others ahead of himself, ahead of his safety, even ahead of his freedom, ahead of his life. And if you can teach your children that lesson, maybe they will grow up to have a little more character than you.
So look, I agree with all the things that he's saying here. But you know, when he derides the tribalism, Trump didn't start that. I mean, Trump might be the culmination of that, but the Republican Party has been doing that tribalism for a long, long time now. And look, you know, I often criticize Joe Scarborough for defending anyone in the establishment and the elite, and he's doing that here. But the guy's dying. So I totally agree with him that Trump has no bounds, and the people who are enjoying that and treating it like it's a wrestling match when a guy's life is actually hanging in the balance, that is not the right way to go. And yes, I agree, they were not raised right. One last piece here.
Well, it shows the extent of the nature of the party now that that's not what happens when John McCain gets mentioned at rallies by the president and his supporters.
They boo.
Yeah.
Who raised them? Who raised these people? Because I guarantee you, I was raised in the same region, in the same socioeconomic background, going to the same Southern Baptist churches, going to the same public schools, going to the same public colleges, state schools that these people went to. So why ask? Who raised these people? Who have they become that they would boo a man who is fighting for his very life?
And has served the country for
and
decades.
Has served this country in uniform, who is a prisoner of war
for this country,
who was actually told, you know what? You can be released from prison because your father's really powerful. He's a powerful man. And so just walk out of the prison, go home. You can be reunited with your family. We'll stop beating you. We'll stop putting scars on your back. Go home. You will be freed. And John McCain said, for those of you booing John McCain right now and are too ignorant to read a book, John McCain said, no, I'm not going to go home until all my men go home with me. You should keep your mouth shut.
Now, all that is true, but remember, Republican voters had 17 choices. They chose Trump, they're still backing Trump. So Scarborough is right to be mad at Trump. And to be fair to Halperin and Scarborough, both guys I criticize often, but they're pointing out here, it's not just Trump, it is also Republican voters. And that's the state of the party as we stand right now. Now, if they reject Trump later, maybe they are a little bit better than Trump. But for now, they're not. That's the Republican Party. All right, when we come back, what I would argue is one of the best weddings in American history. I'll tell you all about it. All right, back on the Young Turks, Control Left writes in, debate question for all future GOP debates, please list all 10 commandments. Inconceivable they would get it right, you're absolutely right. Super Last Thing, which is an awesome handle on Twitter, says he's trying to compensate, referring to Roy Moore, he's trying to compensate for a small gun with another small gun. No, look, let me defend Roy Moore on the one and only thing I'll defend him on. When I saw that he had a small gun, I was like, maybe he's secure in his manhood. It's usually the guys with the gigantic guns that have issues. Like, no, look at my gun. I got a big gun. Anyway, El Duende Chingon again says only Donald Trump could get a crowd of people to boo a man dying of cancer. Very fair. Actually, super last thing. Let me go to Jesse Topfer from Super Chat on YouTube. You guys should expand overseas. There's a huge untapped market in Australia for Progressive News Network, especially in regards to politics. Jess, who says we're not? Oh, damn! Australia, you're not coming for us, we're coming for you. But hold, it's going to take a while, okay? Let's go over here and finish up the show, okay? Or at least the first hour, okay? So last night we had another football game. This is, of course, Monday Night Football after all the other games have been played, for those of you who don't live in America, but live in a box instead. Anyway, it was the Cowboys versus the Cardinals, and Donald Trump was going to get in on the action and triple down on his criticism of the NFL. Of course he was. And then I'll tell you what Dallas did. He said, debooing at the NFL football game last night when the entire Dallas team dropped to its knees was loudest I have ever heard. Great anger. Okay, I heard it. It was definitely not the loudest I ever heard. There was definitely booing. They were in Arizona. So this is the worst talking point in American history. Like when Steelers didn't come out for the national anthem and they came out later in Chicago, where they were playing Chicago, the fans booed. That's because they're the opposing team. The Arizona players were also locking arms. So that makes no sense. They were booing the Cowboys when they took a knee because they're the opposing team. And look, I grant you this, some of them might have been opposed to the kneeling or whatever, but that wasn't the only reason why. Okay, so let's show it to you, by the way. Here's what it looked like. And that was all the players, the coaches, and even, as you see right there, Jerry Jones taking a knee, the owner. The very, very wealthy, as far as we know, conservative Chris Christie hugging owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Man, Trump is such a disaster. He got billionaire owners to take a knee in not necessarily in unison with, but in sympathy with Colin Kaepernick, who they were keeping out of the league. Man, you are an epic fail. You're a living, breathing epic fail, Donald Trump. So, and Jerry Jones was not the first to lock arms with his players. Shahid Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was, but he was the first to take a knee. Now, that what they did was they took a knee before the anthem, and then they went and locked arms during the anthem. So they're trying to have it both ways. That's okay. That's okay. I think to me that it's a wonderful sign overall of not just unity, but saying, look, we're not just locking arms. We are in fact taking a knee, but we don't want to offend the people that think that it's the anthem is sacrosanct, and if you're in the wrong body position during the anthem, they're also going to get upset. Or maybe some of the players would also get upset, and you want to respect their thoughts and their rights as well. So, okay. So how does Trump take this? It's a double slap at him. Not only do they all take a knee, but during the anthem they also lock arms. So no, Trump has a different take on it. And he says, but while Dallas dropped to its knees as a team, they all stood up for our national anthem. Big progress being made. We all love our country. As if he solved it. No, they took the knee against you. And they locked arms during the national anthem against you as a sign of unity, saying that what you're doing is unacceptable. It's not like they were the whole league was locking arms before the during the national anthem before you made your comments. It was only some of the players, and it was all as a show of unity for the protest that Kaepernick started. Now he's trying to twist it like, oh yeah, well during the anthem, the protest that they're doing, that was just, we're making progress. We're making progress. You are such a child, a sad, sad child, baby. Then Trump tweets, ratings for NFL football are way down, except before the game starts when people tune in to see whether or not our country will be disrespected. Not worried about police brutality, not worried about African Americans and their plea for justice here, not worried about the freedom of speech of the players or anyone else. What's the ratings doing? What's the ratings doing? And then is it true that the ratings are up before the game? No, there's no evidence of that. Just made that up. It's like, oh, but I got good ratings. I got them good ratings before the game, and they had bad ratings afterwards. Got you. No, you didn't get anybody. You're a fool. You turned the entire league against you. Okay, but he doesn't get it, man. He really doesn't. According to people who were at gathering of right wingers, he brought them in. He was excited. He thought he was winning. Oh my God! It's like Charlie Sheen standing on a roof with a machete going, I'm winning, I'm by winning. Anyway, he told those supporters, it's really caught on. It's really caught on. No, you schmuck, protests against you have caught on. You are so unbelievably dumb. Okay, he said, I said what millions of Americans were thinking. Now, that actually has some degree of truth to it, unfortunately, because it is nowhere near the majority of Americans, but there's 330 million people in the country, and there is some percentage who think, come on, man. Not that police brutality is not that bad, and a lot of them might think that, and a lot of them might say that. But for most of them, I think that they think, I just don't want to hear about it, because it's not my problem. I mean, if it's your 12-year-old son getting shot in a park in 2 seconds flat, well, that's your problem, not my problem. I just don't want to hear about it. It makes me uncomfortable, right? If it's disproportionately African Americans who were shot, even though they didn't have any weapons at all, even if they'll, in some of the cases they're complying with police, and even though statistically it's worse, I don't want to hear about it. And unfortunately, that is true for a lot of Americans. Well, at least it was true until Donald Trump came in, and now the whole country's hearing about it because he bungled it so badly that he's turned hundreds of millions of Americans against him. So, but he can't. Stop, he's gonna double down further here. Let's go to video one where he's asked about it today. I think this is actually literally his fifth time doubling down. So is this quintupling down? Let's watch.
Well, I wasn't preoccupied with the NFL. I was ashamed of what was taking place because to me that was a very important moment. I don't think you can disrespect our country, our flag, our national anthem. To me, the NFL situation is a very important situation. I've heard that before. About was I preoccupied? Not at all. Not at all. I have plenty of time on my hands. All I do is work.
Don't say I have plenty of time on my tiny little hands. You're supposed to be focusing on Puerto Rico. You've got devastation down there. And he's like, I got plenty of time on my hands, so I can go around picking fights with the NFL. Oh, and all I do is work. We see you golfing every weekend. We have TV cameras. We can see it. We have eyes. He's not done yet.
It doesn't take me long to put out a wrong, and maybe we'll get it right. I think it's a very important thing for the NFL to not allow people to kneel during the playing of our national anthem, to respect our country and to respect our flag.
The other dude there is like, what am I doing here? Who am I? Why am I here? Please make the pain stop. Okay. Anyway, when the president, the leader of the government, says that people should be made to kneel or fired if they kneel and should be forced to not speak their minds, we have a significant constitutional issue. If the teams on their own decide to take action, that's private action. When Trump does it, it's public action. And we're supposed to have freedom of speech in this country. And he's basically saying if you exercise your freedom of speech, you should be fired. That's a massive problem. It's gotten so bad, I'm going to go to video three here. Even Kilmeade might have turned on him. Watch.
With the president, and I understand his sentiment, made things so much worse. And the language he used was terrible. When you have Robert Kraft coming out against you, you know you've gone too far. Robert Kraft spends time in the Lincoln bedroom. He's friends with President Trump beyond their wealth and their riches and their circles. He made things immeasurably worse by speaking out. And I know what his intention was, but the language used was galvanizing the wrong direction.
He made things immeasurably worse. Even Fox and Friends are saying that. You've lost Kilmeade, you've lost Kraft, you've lost Jerry Jones. What do you have left? But another one, he puts out a tweet. The NFL has all sorts of rules and regulations. The only way out for them is to set a rule that you can't kneel during your national anthem. He is now saying, as the leader of the government, you should not allow it and it is your only way out. He has no idea what's in our Constitution. He doesn't know anything about this country. He doesn't know about our principles. All he cares about is himself. He's such a buffoon. And so when the NFL was asked about it, Joe Lockhart, that's the NFL's executive vice president of communications and public affairs, talked about how everyone in the locker room was united against Donald Trump's comments. And then he had this nice little comment. He said, everyone should know, including the president, this is what real locker room talk is. Damn, nice little reference to the Access Hollywood tapes from the campaign. Shots fired and friendly fire. Trump is a disaster. He's not winning with this strategy, in this case, quite literally. Okay, now we turn to Puerto Rico for a second and his reaction to that. Okay. So a lot of folks are concerned that Puerto Rico is in terrible shape and Donald Trump's too obsessed with the NFL. Let me give you an update on Puerto Rico. The mayor of San Juan said just yesterday, we've been canvassing one by one all of our elderly homes, finding our elderly. And I'm not kidding, we had to transfer 11 of them in near-death conditions, no food, no water, no electricity, and really the sanitary conditions were deplorable. HuffPost goes on to explain hospitals and care centers for the disabled are running out of diesel, crews added. That's the mayor of San Juan. Certain hospital patients, Reuters reported, have been evacuated to the US, but others await an uncertain fate as generators fail. So things are in horrible condition there. Already 16 people have died in Puerto Rico alone. There are 10,000 people in shelters as we speak. Diesel fuel sent to Puerto Rico from the US is 124,000 gallons because they need that for the generators. Otherwise, people's lives are endangered in the hospitals and other places. People in potential danger if a dam in Puerto Rico fails is 70,000 people in very significant life-threatening danger. But remember, power and communication is out throughout the island, so they might not even know it. And you're seeing pictures there, and you're not going to be surprised after the pictures to find out that 80% of the crops have been damaged, and there's been $780 million loss in agricultural yields. And what has Donald Trump's response been? Well, he tweeted these bizarre tweets a little while ago. He said, Texas and Florida are doing great, but Puerto Rico, which was already suffering from broken infrastructure and massive debt, is in deep trouble. Why would you phrase it that way? Look, I don't think he's doing it consciously, But I think he thinks, you know, Puerto Ricans, they were already in debt. They were already a mess. Texas and Florida are doing great. Ay, ay, ay. Just go help them. You're the president. Yes, Puerto Rico is a United States territory. He got heat for all these tweets. I'll tell you his reaction in a second, but let me give you the other two. He said, its old electrical grid, which was in terrible shape, was devastated. Much of the island was destroyed with billions of dollars owed to Wall Street and the banks, which sadly must be dealt with. Food, water, and medical are top priorities and doing well. Hashtag FEMA. Like, do you think that he is bringing up the Wall Street debt as a like, hey, that's outrageous that Wall Street has got them over a barrel here when they're suffering? Or that, hey, Puerto Rico has different rules for how to handle their debt than the rest of the United States of America, and that's fundamentally unfair. First of all, there's no way he even knows that. No, it appears that in the context of those tweets, he's saying like, they already owed all this money to Wall Street. These Puerto Ricans, I don't know what I'm gonna do with them. Just have, but he can't. He can't have sympathy or empathy for anyone he doesn't associate with. And so I don't know if that's a, look, some people are not gonna wanna call that racist, but it's, that's fine. You can call whatever you like, but he has empathy for people who look like him and who are in his circles. And more than even racial, which in this case, I think there's plenty of that going on here. And you can make your own judgment call on it or not. I'm giving you all the facts here. But it's like he said about his cabinet. He said, look, I put rich people in my cabinet. I don't want poor people in my government. Because he thinks rich people are successful and good people. Poor people, they owe money to Wall Street. You owed money to Wall Street. He went bankrupt 6 different times. But he thinks, no, that's okay. I've always been among the rich. So I'm a good guy. And others, they're not winning. They're not winning. They're a mess. Don't call, he's in essence calling them a mess here. And of course, with no sense of self and irony or any of that stuff, to know that he actually was known as the king of debt. But of course, his daddy bailed him out over and over again. And apparently, at one point, so did the Russians. So I guess he thinks that's okay, as long as maybe he's going to call the Russians and get them to help Puerto Rico. Anyway. Since he took a lot of criticism for that, he put out a statement later today saying, no, Puerto Rico, quote, is very important to me. And Puerto Rico, the people are fantastic people. I grew up in New York, so I know many people from Puerto Rico. I know many Puerto Ricans, and these people are great people, and we have to help them. The island is devastated. Some of my best friends are Puerto Ricans. I mean, I lived in New York. I mean, they're not really my friends, but I saw Puerto Ricans in New York. Great people, great people. No, I'm going to go help them. And he finally said he is going to go down there and visit. He just didn't want to get in the way earlier. Okay. Make of it what you will, but it doesn't seem like it's his top priority. Okay, last story for you guys in the so-called first hour. Okay. So we've had a red wedding, and we know how that turns out. That didn't turn out well. But there are weddings that turn out great, red, white, and blue weddings. What in the world is that? Now, I'm going to argue that this is one of the best weddings in America. I'm going to show you a little video of it, and you're going to go, what's going on here? Okay? It seems innocuous enough. Let me show you the lovely wedding here, and then I will tell you why this lovely couple, I think, did something incredibly patriotic and why I want to give them credit. Let's watch.
Today is one of life's happiest occasions. But marriage involves many emotions, good and not so good. Be each other's support system. You will have all of us to lean on as well, but on a day-to-day basis, you will need each other. Listen, be patient, communicate your needs. And don't forget that friendship is one of the foundations of your relationship. Friendship, laughter, and love.
Now you might think that looks like a lovely wedding, but a fairly normal one. Wrong. Those American heroes are Justin Hayashi and Rebecca Chan. You know what they said to their guests? They said, don't give us any gifts. Instead, please give at wolf-pack.com/wedding. I'm not kidding. So they asked every guest to give to Wolfpack instead. how much do I love these guys? So they got no gifts for their wedding. All they got was people giving to a cause that they really believe in, which is to, of course, get money out of politics so we end the corruption in this country. So that people aren't just represented by the elite anymore, but that the Americans can have a true voice. And so I was moved by that. They visited here as well. And I thought, you know what, why don't we not only thank them, but take it up a notch. So they've already raised thousands for Wolfpack, but can I say 100,000? How amazing would that be if it turns out their wedding registry raised $100,000 for an amazing cause? By the way, a cause that 93% of Americans agree with. 93% of Americans say that politicians represent their donors over their voters, and they're absolutely right about that. But could you imagine caring enough about that to make that the focus of your wedding, at least your wedding registry? What wonderful, thoughtful people. wolf-pack.com/wedding. Go donate to their, not just their cause, but to their wedding and to their lovely gesture. So Justin and Rebecca, wonderful job. In fact, Wolfpack got together and they wanted to thank them at their latest gathering. So this is some of the state leaders, and I want to show you their thank you. America. I love Americans. This is what we do together. So make it a special one. Make it the most special wedding that anybody's ever had. So thank you guys for doing that. And by the way, if you want to do it too, look, I know it's a big thing, and that's why it's bold, and that's why they're great. And it doesn't have to be a wedding. It could be a quinceañera. It could be a bar mitzvah. I don't know. Together at wolf-pack.com if you want to do this as well. So let Wolfpack know and they'll set it up for you. Together at wolf-pack.com. And like I said, go to wolf-pack.com/wedding and donate to this great American couple's wedding and to their cause. Let's get an amendment. Let's make it worthwhile. So can you imagine we pass that amendment? They get to say, hey, look, we were a huge part of it. And that would be absolutely true. Can I see $100,000 in their wedding registry? All right, guys, I love you. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got a lot more stories for you guys, including Trump supporters turning on him over the NFL and Puerto Rico issue. Wow, that's interesting. You'll love their quotes. Come right back.